Okay. Anything else? Let's begin with prayer for those that are just joining that didn't pray with us earlier. So if you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence on this Sabbath day. And thank you for giving us all we need day by day, hour by hour. Thank you for blessing us with your presence and with the changing of the showbread and with stronger faith, wisdom, discernment, peace, gentleness, meekness, and trust in you. And even the strength and courage to offer a smile when they expect a frown. And thank you for keeping a hedge of angels around everyone on our prayer list, those that were mentioned earlier, and those that are in the cities that are being destroyed by the bought and paid for rioters. And forgive them too, Father, for they know not what they're doing. They have no clue. And so, thank you for being with us and hearing this prayer. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. I'm going to have to oil the chair. It's making, the humid days, the not-so-humid days, the humid days, because I keep opening up the window. I didn't open up the window today because I didn't want to deal with all that noise. And the trucks aren't going by as much today for some reason. Anyway, so, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I think next Sabbath is going to be the last part. I think it's part number... this is part number 7 for the warning from Malachi, and I can't remember. I think I did the whole chapter in this one. Boy, I got a lot of links. Let me slip, put it over notes. Oh, let me change this. Let me just get that out of there by hitting this, and then go to sermon notes. Now that's the wrong date. Let me just fix that. Yeah, the date was wrong last week, too. I just noticed I didn't change the date in the sermon notes for last week either, because that would have been June something, June 6th. So I got to fix that one, too. So 06-13-20 is where that should be, and then hit apply. There we go. So this is, I did the whole chapter, I think. Malachi chapter 3. And so next week is just chapter 4, which is a real tiny little chapter. So, and I praise God for this sermon series because it was something the Lord gave me four times. I think it was four times. It was either all, I was trying to figure out, did you mean all four chapters or just four parts, in that one night months ago. And, but moving along in this series, which ends next Sabbath, and this is regarding the warning of our Lord from his prophet Malachi. We come to verse 5 in chapter 3. And for those of you that want to read along, I can just put the link in the room here for the sermon notes. Well, somebody can put it in the room, in the stream if you want the notes to the sermon notes. But Malachi chapter 3, verse 5 says, "And I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." This sounds a lot like today's world with all the sinfulness from the sorcery of drugs, because we know sorcery is pharmakia, it comes from the word pharmakia. And so we see all this with that, from the drugs to the way multi-billionaires oppress the hireling and his wages. I mean, these men, they pay their workers a mere pittance while they make more money than they can even hope to spend in multiple lifetimes, just as prophesied in James chapter 5, verse 3. They're heaping their treasures for the last days, because never have men been trillionaires before, or multi-billionaires, and there's a few in the elite that are trillionaires. But the sad thing here is, not only do we see the adulterers and the false swearers in society running rampant as if it's all been normalized, these same awful fruits are seen in the apostate leaders of the church, who, as the assumed bride of Christ, commit all sorts of spiritual adultery against him by declaring Satan to be their god, by making the people think the demonic manifestations of a false god in Mecca, who they call Allah, is the Christian god. That's what they say. This causes many poor souls who believe the wolves on the pulpits, when in fact the obedient eyes that see, you know, the people that worship Allah kill Christians. So how can that be the Christian god? In fact, I did a little research and I found that the name Allah is the name of a moon god who was the chief among 360 pagan idols that were once worshipped in Mecca, the hometown of Muhammad. Allah is actually a statue inside that big square building that they all travel around, encircle it. It's actually a statue. It's an idol. You know, this connection. And that's why it's in a big, you know, they cover it up. They don't want anybody seeing it. And this is, you know, this connection between the pagan worship of the moon matches perfectly with the pagan worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars of paganism that the Vatican authors declared in writing to be baptized into Catholicism long ago. And for those of you that want to read along, the link is right there on the top of the sermon notes. And if you scroll to the bottom, I think I can do it. Oops, I can't do it that way. There, okay. Link number one, I show how Rome actually claims paganism was baptized into Catholicism. All the links there, I got 10 links this week. It was a busy link week. And so, and by the way, this also connects well with how the Vatican was outed as the authors of the Quran, in how Muslims that have left Islam to join Catholicism literally declare on camera that that's why they left. And I've got a video I made about that on my webpage called Pope Wrote Quran, you know. And that's why these Muslims are joining the Catholic Church, because of how the Quran lifts up Mary. That's link number two in the sermon notes. And yes, this is also why many Christians that do not study their Bibles or believe what's in them, for that matter, they now declare there's a lunar or moon Sabbath. There's your Muslim connection there. That's link number three, by the way. I got a page all about. I mean, I got tons of Bible verses proving that the lunar, and these Bible verses, whenever you share them with these lunar Sabbath keepers, they can't respond 100%. They cannot respond. It's because their creed has become their Bible. It's just like with the people that say Jesus isn't God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. They tell you to literally rip out 1 John 5, chapter 3, verses 5 to 7, where it says that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They say that verse should never have been there. It wasn't in the early manuscript, but yet it was. Dr. Carl Ball even paid $33,000 for that early manuscript, and he's got it under glass in his museum in Texas. Opened to 1 John 5, 7. It's right there. So they put their creed above the Bible. And so the worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars is how the end-time bloodthirsty troops of Satan the world over are going to be better prepared to hate and kill the Sabbath-keeping Christians in the coming days. And so it's no mistake at all, that the Islamic symbol of the crescent moon and the star is as it is. For it too declares the worship of the moon and the nature as do the pagans of old. The moon and the star is obvious, you know, but the earth and the sun is hidden in their worship, but yet it's hidden in plain sight. Did you ever notice that? It's not a full moon they're showing up there. It's a crescent moon. And how do you get a crescent moon? I mean, the moon cannot be a crescent without the shadow of the earth. And the shadow cannot be possible without the sun on it, you know, blasting onto the earth. So there you have it. You got the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planet Earth. All that is in nature is represented by their logo, even though some people think, oh, no, it's just the crescent moon and the star. Well, the crescent moon shows you there is a sun and there is a planet, because otherwise, how could you get that crescent moon? Romans chapter 1, verses 22 to 28 says this: professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and chained the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And for those of you that don't know what that all means there, just visit the Vatican when you get a chance with a camera. James Arbedo did that, and they killed him for it. He did the Illustrated Great Controversy. Look at the pictures. You see all the, you know, the birds, the four-footed beasts, and the creeping things in the statues and the icons and the relics and whatnot all over the Vatican walls. I've got every single solitary picture from the illustrated version of the Great Controversy on my website, if anybody wants all those pictures. Anyway, verse 24 and on, it says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Amen. And how do you worship the creature above the Creator? Well, one example is, you know, obey your pastor over and above the Creator of your pastor, like the Jews did with the Pharisees 2,000 years ago when they believed the Pharisees who said, "Oh no, that's not the real Messiah," when they were looking at Jesus. Or your Seventh-day Adventist pastors today that say stay with the ship, even though they themselves admit the church is in apostasy, and even though the scripture and spirit of prophecy both say the main fruit of Babylon is apostasy, the people believe their leaders and they stay in apostasy. And no, I did not call the Seventh-day Adventist church the Whore of Babylon. I called her the sister, one of the daughters of the harlot. That was prophesied in Scripture, Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7, and Revelation 12, 17, as well as Spirit of Prophecy, all over the place. But those statements in Spirit of Prophecy have been removed, for the most part, in the doctored or edited versions of the Great Controversy and many other books. And yes, I have many videos proving that. So anyway, verses 26 and on says, "For this cause God gave them up unto the vile affections, for even the women did change the natural use that which is against nature," homosexuality. "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." There he is, you know, like AIDS, disease, whatever, damnation, if they don't repent. And then finally, verse 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient." Have you ever seen my Pope and Islam page? That's link number 4, by the way, in the links down below in the sermon notes. Let me scroll these sermon verses up. Yeah. Have you ever seen it, though? I show the similarities between the two religions using their very own doctrines. Everything from paganism to child molestation is the norm in both the Catholic and the Church of Islam. And so when the Seventh-day Adventist Church started to declare Allah is God, this confirmed an absolute Jesuit takeover of the church. That's in link number 5. And yes, the takeover was finalized in 1980. When they changed the Seventh-day Adventist statement of faith right down to their Trinity dogma, and that's link number 6, by the way. But for them to openly declare Allah is God on 3ABN via the lips of Pastor Dwight Nelson and then John Carter confirms Rome now owns that church, just like I was reading earlier from the CIA guy, who says once the American people have, you know, in other words, once they believe everything that is false that we tell them and they all believe it, well, then we know we have absolute control. And so that's why you see what's going on with Chaz, you know, their own little country in Seattle, and all the riots and the plandemic and everything else. Even the Twin Towers, that was part of it. And how did this all start? How did they get the ball rolling? Remember Orson Welles? War of the Worlds? That was just testing the waters to see if the people were that dumb to believe that stuff. And people actually thought we were being invaded by Mars. All naysayers that annoyed them as they were taking the church over the last few decades, you know, everybody that tried to stop the Jesuits from doing what they were doing. They have either died off physically or spiritually. And so by the 1980, and so declaring Allah is God and homosexual lifestyle is no longer sinful, and even from Loma Linda saying that homosexual marriage should be legalized, this proves the fix was in. That's link number 7. And so as prophesied, the church has openly and quite boldly declared themselves one in agreement with the paganism of Babylon itself. But not for that much longer, as we saw in the verse I shared at the start, which I repeat now, verse 5. It says, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and turn aside the stranger from his right. You know, he's on the right path and you got him off. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, but praise the Lord, brothers and sisters, as we see his mercy holds out for those he called my people in Revelation 18. For his wrath is going to fall on the apostate churches, and especially the one claiming the name SDA, because judgment starts at the church. Because they were the ones holding the torch. They were the ones supposed to go forth with the light. But they refused. The great God of heaven goes on to say to the somewhat obedient souls, and you know, because they're still sitting in apostasy, but they're somewhat obedient because they can hear his voice. Eventually. These are the people that are still in the church. Through his prophet Malachi in verse 6, he says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. And then he says this. It's kind of like an echo, if you will, from Revelation 18:4. He says, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. I mean, as you look around, you see how the world's coming to an end. Do you think it's high time to, you know, do the right thing? I mean, praise his name that his promises won't change, and so he will not, we will not be consumed if those in apostasies come out and those outside the apostate church remain obedient. I mean, those who are still alive when the intercession of Christ shall cease and the sanctuary above will be called to stand in the sight of a holy God without a mediator. That means their foundations must be well placed and firmly set on the rock of Christ. Their robes must be absolutely spotless, and their characters must emulate Jesus Christ to the point of partaking of the divine nature. And how can you do that sitting in a church that you know for a fact and have stated with your own lips is in apostasy? You're calling your Lord, Savior, and King a liar. He said to come out of apostasy. You're saying, no, we're staying in. And so if you think the attacks on your faith are rough now, for those of you that have left, well, you haven't seen anything yet when it comes to the time of Jacob's trouble. But through the grace of God and our undying and ever-increasing faith in his promises, we will overcome, because again, it says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. But everyone else that refuses to heed the call and come out of apostasy, well, they're going to be consumed to dust. No getting around that which the Lord has spoken. I mean, they can try, they can call him a liar, they can say they can sit in apostasy, they can do all they want. You know, just like they can say that COVID-19 is killing millions of people around the world when it's not. People are going to believe it, but that doesn't make it true. And so stand firm, those of you that stepped out of apostasy in recent days, and pray and share the truth with those that are still refusing to leave as quickly as we did. And no, you don't go in the church to do that, because now you're part of the apostasy. Jesus said come out. He didn't say go back in. Some people have said to me, well, I'm going to stay in the church to reach these people. You know, how well is that going to work? You're telling the people, well, we need to get out of apostasy. And they look at you with a strange look on their face. Dude, you're sitting right in the same church. Well, what are you talking about? If we're supposed to leave, why are you still in here? See, that's how transparent their lies are. They're staying in, you know, for everything from business connections to a pretty girl. Whatever their reasons are to stay in the church, they're staying in there. Because staying in a sinful church, one can see the fruit of Catholicism taking hold even now in many ways. including the tithe. This is why the Lord moved Malachi to say what he said next. And I recall, as a matter of fact, as a young man in the Catholic Church, how next to no one tithe as the Bible commanded. Now, I knew the income of some of these people as they loved to brag about their income, and I saw they always placed a fraction of the tithe, not a fraction of their income, that's 10%. They gave a fraction of the 10% in the basket that was brought before every person in the church. In fact, among other duties, before I left the Catholic Church, I was an usher. You know, when they didn't have anything else for me to do, because I was a Eucharistic minister as well, and I also taught Catholic doctrine. But if there was some, like an usher wasn't there, I'll step up, I'll do it. And an usher just went, you know, guided people to their pews if they needed a helping hand, like the old folks. Or you're the guy that went out there with that broom handle that was wrapped in palms and had a basket on the end of it, and that was like a basket weaved connected to it with that green felt on the inside. And you would just take that basket and you would go to the edge of the pew and you would just put it in front of the person at the pew. And if he doesn't put any money in it, you go to the next person. You keep going all the way down until you can reach as far as you can. And then somebody else does the other side of the pews. And you go up and down the whole length of the church doing it. Sometimes two, three times a week with all these different reasons for the church wanting their money. And people would put in there. And I knew these people. It's amazing what they would put in there. When God prospers mankind and they are asked to give him his portion as his word commands, he's testing you. People think this is 100% of my money. No, your 100% only equals 90% of what you think you have. That 10%, he gave you extra just to see what you would do with it. If you hoard it, you're going to have some issues, financial issues. So, you got to give him his portion as his word commands. Certain people refuse to do their duty. They willingly close their eyes to claim in their own hearts that they could not understand it. You know, that self-deception thing, because they're so much in love with money, they say, But I ask, how hard is it to understand 10% of 5,000, like a monthly income would be $500? How hard is that? Just take a zero off. 10% of 5,000 is 500. Just take a zero off. It's just 10%. It's just using the decimal points, moving them around, you know? And so instead of placing the 500 in the basket, they place 50. And that's a rarity, too. Usually it was a $20 bill I saw. Because some of these guys, I knew they were holding heavy. They had over $1,000 a week coming in, so they should have been putting $100 every week in that basket. But they would put a 20 in there. These people rob God. And in so, well, not in the Catholic Church, but that's their lesson there too as well. They should have just come out of there. Any church where you don't tithe properly, you're just robbing God. And in so doing, they hinder the work which he, the Lord, designed needs to get done. And since the Lord was not honored by that which the Lord gave them in the first place, he curses them. So that he that devours can destroy their finances and bring all sorts of problems upon them. You know, this is the norm in all the churches now. And so, what is shared next by Malachi is to be expected. And so, picking up from the latter end of verse 7, we read, "But ye said, wherein shall we return?" And then verse 8 says, "Well, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" And so, of course, the Lord answers by saying, "In tithes and offerings." I mean, what a strange thing. I mean, is what's coming to fruition in the hearts of some is in how once they leave their churches or the SDA church, they still don't think tithe is important. They don't tithe as they should. I mean, as you know, you are to tithe where you are fed the truth that you hear, nowhere else. If you hear the truth, like, as I know people, well, I don't know them, I'm not going to mention any names, but over the years I've known people that said, you know, we tithe a portion to you, we tithe a portion here, 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 and here. And all the other here, 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 and here's were Seventh-day Adventist churches. They were helping to form and create and fund the image of the beast, but yet still giving me a little bit because that's where they're getting, you know, fed. And that's not how it works. You're supposed to tithe where you're fed. And so they're not going to get blessed either. You are to tithe where you're fed, the truth, nowhere else. And as we also know, nary a preacher in the Seventh-day Remnant Church is ever even going to ask you for your donations, because we are of the mindset that obedient Christians need not be told how they must obey the Lord in everything, including the tithe and the offerings. And so when some come out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they will naturally tithe in the same way as the Catholic, who only gives a fraction of the 10%. And rightly so, seeing how the Seventh-day Adventist Church has become the Roman SDA Church, wherein the tithe they receive is also sent to the Pope as their own letterhead and documentations proved in a video I done some time ago, or I did some time ago. It's leak number 8, by the way. That's where it says the SDA Church sends tithe to the Pope. And they do. Documented. It's been documented. And so Catholicism and its dogmatic ways are off. Oh, by the way, the General Conference is the one sending the money to the Pope. That means every single solitary Seventh-day Adventist Church is guilty, as well as under the 501c3. There's no getting around it. You can say, oh, my Seventh-day Adventist Church is conservative. No, it's not. If it was conservative, it wouldn't be in the SDA Church. They do that all the time. They all says, oh, well, you know, our pastor is conservative. He speaks out against the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Well, does he still call himself SDA? Oh, yeah. Well, then he's not conservative. He's not obedient to the Lord. You're supposed to come out of that stuff. You're not supposed to stay in there and try to reform from the inside. You show me a single prophecy that says that happens. There isn't one. Unless, of course, you go into the spirit of prophecy with some of the doctored ones. And we can prove they've been doctored. Just get the original book. Go page by page and you'll see, whoa, there's a lot of stuff missing. And so Catholicism and its dogmatic ways are often difficult to unlearn, as they are very addictive in nature. Seriously, I mean, sinfulness is what the flesh wants. I mean, it's just the way it is. And this is why so many prefer to stay in the Church of Rome, because as the prophet Isaiah declared in Isaiah 4:1, they can read the Bible the way they want to read it, they can walk the way they want to walk, and they can do the things the way they want to do it, but just call them Christians to take away their shame. That's what Isaiah 4:1 is all about. It's today's churchianity. I mean, the Jesuits of Rome have taken the Seventh-day Adventist Church so long ago that just viewing the fruit coming from the General Conference itself, from their president declaring Sunday laws are no longer in a pipeline, and he literally says this on camera in link number 9 in the sermon notes here. Link number 9. So, but you can even go to their regional directors in the General Conference saying that keeping Sunday holy in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and they have dozens of churches that meet on Sundays now in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, dozens and dozens of them, they say it's no big deal. And yes, I've got their documented statement in link number 10 in a video. This proves they have openly stretched their hands across the gulf so as to be one with who the pastors and leaders in the SDA Church literally call holy leader on camera, when their very own Bibles call them the man of sin. I haven't found any Seventh-day Adventist leaders that call the Pope Holy Father in that video I made yesterday, but they do call him holy leader. And I've, you know, even Ben Carson too, and he's Seventh-day Adventist Church didn't even tell him not go into politics, even though we know what it says in the spirit of prophecy. He called him holy leader. But I actually have a pastor, a big guy, you know, totally unhealthy. The health message is not part of that church, this guy. And he calls the Pope holy leader and hands him a medal the whole nine yards. And so for those in leadership and those with their heads dug in deep, or their heels rather, dug in deep, declaring they will never leave the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I echo that which the prophet Malachi was called to speak eons ago. He said in verse 9 that ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. But will they listen? No, not for the most part, because you can't change Christian prophecy. For the most part, they're just going to sit there, and they're not going to understand anything we have to say until the end of the 1,000 years, when the self-deception is wiped away. That's where the weeping starts, because they really thought they were Christians. The gnashing, well, that's just going to be the atheists and the people that hated Christians to begin with, or the Christian God anyway. But some will praise his name, for he, you know, He is the one that sees them and is still in the apostate churches and calls them my people in Revelation 18:4, and they're going to come out. Eventually, they will come out. And so they will follow his instruction from verse 10 and on, which says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. This is an area you can actually test the Lord. This is pretty neat. He says, prove me now herewith, if I will not open you to the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. You know, the guy that keeps on breaking your car or whatever, or your finances. And I will rebuke the devourer, Satan, obviously, for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And for those of you that want to see how the Lord rebukes the devourer, the easiest way for me to explain this is to share how I learned of this devourer and how to stop him. Before I started the tithe, now I was a Christian and I had already started keeping Sabbath. We were already out of the 1,011-day house. We moved down to a small town in central Illinois 6 months after getting there because I had no more distractions from my 10 siblings and parents and 60 nieces and nephews and all the friends and relatives to, you know, try to, you know, annoy me in regards to my desire to try to get them out of the Catholic Church. After 6 months of getting away from my brethren, I found out about the Sabbath. But I still didn't tithe yet. You know, I still didn't get the tithe thing. And a year and I would say it was a year and a half later, because 6 months later we moved out of there, and then we moved into that house on 5 acres, 5 bedrooms, $100 a month. Just like Spirit of Prophecy said. We didn't even know who wrote Spirit of Prophecy or who she was back then. But we literally moved out of the city, got very low rent, and I got a job in the city. So I had to do exactly like she said it was going to happen. And so, but before I started the tithe, I couldn't keep my bills paid with 100% of my money. But after I started the tithe, and this was even before I knew about love offerings, I noticed that I was able to keep all my bills paid with only 90% of my money. The Lord showed me that before I tithed, I gave the devourer permission to be in my life. Because you can't change Christian prophecy any more than you can change Christian doctrine. You can't change that which is written by our God. If he says this is how it's going to go down, if you do this or do that, or don't do this or do that, then that's what's going to happen. There's no gray areas with our Father. This is how it gets us to learn. This is why I started going into the scriptures and figuring out, why am I having, I've accepted you as Lord and Savior. I'm keeping your law. You're helping me. What's going on here? And then I started doing, you know, and then they revealed the tithe to me. All of a sudden I can keep all my bills with 90%. 10% of my money was gone. It was to him. And yet I could pay all my bills. And so each month I realized something. The devourer wasn't breaking the lawnmower belt. That puppy was $40 a pop. The car didn't break down, or some other expenses, like the fridge didn't break down. You know, unexpected expenses. But when I began to tithe, he no longer had permission to break those things. And so if you're new to this truth and have not yet started the tithe, test this out, and you'll see it. This is how it works. And no, we're not preaching prosperity, because I'm not even asking you for your donations. If you're not getting fed here, you don't tithe to me. And no, it's not sinful to do, you know, because the Lord himself said you can test him in verses 10 and 11. And he said, prove me now herewith, you know, and I'll open the windows of heaven, right? And he'll rebuke the devourer. You'll notice things, the unexpected expenses just won't be there. You're still going to get them throughout your Christian life, yeah. But you'll have the money to handle it now. But getting back to the Lord making his will clear unto those with eyes that can see, or ears that can hear, and hearts that can love. Notice how this all ends regarding what we just studied up in our study hour regarding the Book of Remembrance. As is obvious by now, the Lord is speaking to two different people. One group is brought to view who have not the Holy Spirit because they refuse to walk the path set before them by the Lord so as to be seen as faithful. In the following verses, the Lord says this in verses 13 and on. And we're still in, Malachi 3, right? Yeah, we're in Malachi 3. So verses 13 and on says, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered." Stopping here for a moment. We see that this kind of thing has been the language of hearts of the disobedient. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verses 33 and 34, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. What the souls sitting in apostasy forget is that by their words and actions they are either justified or condemned." No gray areas. You ain't going to get around this. Why? And they get all upset. Like the wicked are set up. Yeah, you ever notice that? The wicked seem to have all the money in today's world. It's because the God of this world, the dying God of this world, gives them that money. We don't need money. That's why I never asked for it. Now, it's not to say I don't need money to pay my bills. Well, yeah, that's obvious. But I'm not going to ask you for it. I'm going to ask my Father for it. You have your duty. So do I. And so, why take the chance when you know there are no gray areas in how our Father judges the people? And I'm talking, of course, to those that are still sitting in apostasy. Why do that? I mean, this is why the altar of burnt offering is the exact same height as the mercy seat. You're either saved or you're lost by your words and your actions. You know, every idle word. Remember what Jesus said in the book of Matthew? I think it's around chapter 26. And when the true remnant approach, seeking to help you out of danger, you instead join hands with Satan to accuse the brethren, because we're trying our best to help you. This is why the remnant people, no matter what church they left, all of them stopped using the Seventh-day Adventist name all over the world, or the Baptist name, or the Catholic name. They all stopped using that name because those names, are, including the SDA, they're all synonymous with apostasy. And God's people cannot stand in such a place, for it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 17, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." How are they unbelievers? Well, the Lord said, come out. When you see apostasy, that's your warning sign. That's when you got it. When you get out. But they stay in anyway. So they're unbelievers. No gray areas, right? Mercy seat, same height as the altar of burnt offering. Either you believe him or you don't. He gave you the definition of apostasy, and then he said, get out of apostasy. You know you're in apostasy, but yet you stay in. Well, I'm talking to the SDAs, of course. And so, going on, it says, "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" And then verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Notice how he says, touch not. Don't even step in. Don't even touch it. It's that dangerous, that deadly. When the eastern sky splits and we're about a trillion years in heaven, you're going to realize just how powerful a word like touch can really mean when we have the wisdom to understand it that deeply. Down here, it's like, I won't touch it. Yeah, it's no biggie. They don't realize how deadly it is to get that close. I mean, you give Satan a toehold, he's going after the leg. You once you give him an opportunity to have any control over you whatsoever, any permission whatsoever to be in your life, you know, you got R-rated DVDs in your house? Well, he's got permission to be there. You got cigarettes in your house? Well, he's got permission to be there. You got any alcohol, violent video games, rock music? Do you have, piped-in television with the HBO and the Sinful Max, all that stuff? You know, You giving them permission to be there. Are you in an apostate church? Well, you got Satan needs got permission to be sitting right next to you in the pew. The apostate church has presented the truth in nearly every offensive light known to man so as to soil the present truth message. That's the Jesuit fruit. They claimed, have you ever read the Jesuit oath? They said to be a Baptist unto the Baptist, be a Lutheran unto the Lutheran, and so on and so forth. They went through all the denominations, infiltrate all. That's part of their oath. It's right on my website. When you get to the red paragraph, don't read it out loud in front of kids. You'll give them nightmares. What these Jesuits have literally promised the Pope that they will do to people. And so, once they infiltrate, they turn church into the most evil thing possible because Roman Catholicism, even though the people in the pews don't know this, but the prelates and the popes do, Roman Catholicism is the church of Satan. It is Satan worship. If you don't believe me, check out their audience hall or go and look at all the pagan symbols that worship, that glorify Satan all throughout, or their dogma. Some of the things that they even sing to Lucifer. They have, well, that's what they call him. His name isn't Lucifer anymore. He has fallen. His name is Beelzebub now. But they even have a telescope in Arizona pointed at the Orion Nebula to try to get some inside information as to how close the Father's, the Lord's return is to our planet. And that their telescope is they named it Lucifer. So this is the handiwork of Satan himself. When the church leaders call Allah is God, because that's Satan. Allah is Satan. That's just another one of his names, like Baal or Chemosh or any other name. This is the handiwork of Satan himself, and it has become so bold and blunt that one doesn't even need to have eyes to see such sinfulness now. An atheist can see this now. This is one of the reasons some people can become atheists. Because they go, Christianity is hypocrisy. Because some of these atheists have read Bibles. And praise God, some, quite a few now, have joined the Seventh-day Remnant Church because they realize there's a big difference between what we preach and what the world preaches, the apostate churches. It's churchianity and preachertainment and all the other churches. Prosperity preaching, too. So, as Romans chapter 1, verse 25 says, they have changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature, which is the pastor, more than the creator, and we know who he is, who is blessed forever. Amen. But as for those that obey the Lord, praise his mighty name, and I'll close with this, the prophet Malachi closes out this chapter, verses 16 to 18, he says this, and I pray this blesses your heart because it does mine. This is speaking of us, those that obey the Lord. It says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance, what we were talking about earlier. See, I don't plan this stuff, seriously. The Lord gave me this sermon many months ago. And then the Lord had me doing the study earlier in regards to the book of remembrance. I just noticed now that it worked out well, didn't it? So, praise his mighty name. He's the ones that write, I just love the way he moves the pen. So anyway, verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them. In the time of Jacob's trouble. Even the little time of trouble that we're in now, you're going to be spared. Some of us will be spared with guillotines. You won't have to go through all the fal-de-ral and the crazy and scary stuff because you'll be martyred. That's a blessing, too. A lot of people miss that. And it's painless. So don't let them scare you. Even if they were to burn you at the stake, it's going to be painless. I mean, Huss, come on. The guy was singing while he was on fire. It's all it has to do with your faith. And so, going on, he says, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Because you are his children. We are the sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters. This is our Father in heaven. he's the great God of the universe, of all that is seen and unseen. Why doubt him? And then verse 18, he finishes by saying, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and serveth him not. That's why he's given us eyes to see. That's why we left the apostate churches. He has given us the ability to discern the difference between right and wrong. That's why we're here. And that's why he needs us to go forward and bring them in. I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.